Bonsoir à tous et à toutes. Il est 20h passé de quelques secondes dans les studios de Radio Liban 96.2 FM. Une fois n'est pas coutume, on va passer à la langue anglaise pour cette interview ce soir avec l'artiste américain Emperor X. So we're going to switch to the English language to welcome tonight in the studios of Radio Lebanon 96.2 FM, American singer-songwriter Chad Metheny, aka Emperor X, who will be performing several songs live tonight and will be talking to us about his upcoming concert at Beirut Open Space this Friday. Emperor X performing live in the studios of Radio Lebanon tonight in the Ruptures radio program. Ruptures every Monday, Friday and Saturday between 8 and 9 p.m. This show is presented by myself, Ziad. Fadi Tabal is doing our sound tonight. He's the technical engineer for all these radio programs, and it is our pleasure to have with us Chad Metheny, with aka Emperor X, on the microphone. Hi, Chad.
Bonsoir.
So is it Chad Metheny or is it Chad Metheny, like that other very famous guitar player?
It's spelled differently, but it's Metheny, and it's French in origin from what I'm told.
Really?
Yeah.
So Chad, welcome.
Thank you.
It's a pleasure to have you with us tonight. Please forgive any technical mishaps that might happen in this once great radio station. So you're on Ruptures 96.2 FM, and you're in Beirut to perform next Friday at Beirut Open Space. Why Beirut? Why this week?
Well, I met Charlie in Berlin. We both lived there for a time. And we'd been trying to plan this for a long time, ever since the most recent record came out. But it just didn't work out in 2017, and this time happened to work out, so I'm here.
How did you meet Charlie in Berlin? Were you performing together somewhere?
I don't remember how we met, to be honest. I'm sure it was at a show somewhere, either one of his shows or one of my shows or one of our mutual friend shows, but I honestly don't remember.
Let's work our way back. What brought you to Berlin in the first place?
So I was on tour in Europe in 2012 or 13. I often forget which year. And I liked it a lot, and I decided to move there with someone who I'd met in the United Kingdom. And we wound up not staying together, but I had fallen really hard for the city, so I just stuck it out there. I'd overstayed my visa by a couple days and had to go see a lawyer and go to the Ausländerbehörde and get everything sorted. But yeah, it was one of those things that you have to make something work when it works.
I was reading about you and about your past trajectory online before coming to do this radio program. And I read something that you said that I found very striking, which is that in Europe, it's a much more organic process to be a musician, whereas in the United States, the act of being a musician is much more diluted and much more impersonal.
Well, they give you money in Europe. I mean, the many venues get funding from the state. It does boil down to that. I don't want to sound like a capitalist. I mean this in quite the opposite way, but the state funds arts in Europe, and the United States just doesn't even come close.
Even if you're a visiting American musician?
I mean, it's not that I didn't get money directly from the state. I mean, the government funds venues. Venues often inevitably funnel that money to artists in one way or another, either with higher guarantees or... I mean, yeah, the culture there definitely supports things. The United States has a great artistic culture. The DIY scene there is incomparable to that in Europe. I think it's a lot better, but you really have to fight a struggle to survive. It's a lot more like Lebanon, actually, the United States, being an independent artist.
What did you perform for us tonight at the beginning of the program?
That was a track called Oversleepers International from a record called Oversleepers International.
Which is your latest, I think.
Correcto.
And let's set you off with another one,
sure.
If you don't mind.
Ooh.
sitting alone. You know that's a waste of recharge time. Then she responded to me. She governs her home. And she said, nobody sleeps here. I never sleep here. I hear the train in the lake now. I hear the shutting the fountains off. They plan the ball through the shoreline. They plan to make it all clean. So let's set fire to both sides. Let's leave a message, they'll hear a let's scream. Let's send a signal through coax. Fell into dry land. We slid on the oil of the Dorset beach, and we attempted to hold hands. But the rocks kept slipping, so we kicked at the cold sand. We shouted at the grandfather clock on collection day. That was bold, man. What a move. Then I saw the sun on the causeway. Your family had a cottage on the M14. Under the power surge, wind and rain. That's why the lights keep blinking. Under the haze and the groundswell. And the nervousness of pilots under IFR. We threw a rock at the church bell. We stared at the news. Obsessively remain, no. We held a breath for the empire. We subverted her shyness and we took the fall. We were as mute as we were mindless. So we sang loud, 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 loud. Then I put my keys in the back door. And I watched you left a note in the conservatory. It's never crazy to want more. That's why we refused to remain. Mm-hmm. compressor repair is not in my skill set. And that's why the floor is wet. By the window's broken unit, and I crawled across the puddle that it made and lost my traction for a while. But I was safe, and I repaired the only thing that I knew how to fix there. We threw our shoes at God, and I heard you praying for clean runoff. And we trashed your AC. It's broken free on coils. It was an energy star. It wasted BTUs. It wasn't right, but it was there because I want you to be cool. I wanted you to be cool. It cooled off. What a reaction. I want you to be cool.
Chad Matheny, a.k.a. Emperor X, performing live in the studios of Radio Lebanon tonight. He will be playing a concert at Beirut Open Space this Friday, 25th of May 2018. And here he is behind the microphone of Ruptures once again. Thank you for this, Chad. That was lovely.
Thank you very much for the opportunity. It's like a huge dream to play the Middle East and Lebanon, especially for me.
Well, it's lovely for us to have you here with us tonight. Legend has it that you started playing at age 9. You received your first instrument at age 9. It was a Casio keyboard, right?
SK1. Remember? Yes. Actually, no, the first one was a PT1, which did almost nothing. But yeah.
And then came the SK1.
SK1, SK5, MT40, and then I forget.
You were playing on Radio Lebanon's very old and out-of-tune piano.
Sounded beautiful.
It does.
I think it's a great piano.
Tell us about the strange contraption that you've been using. You've got some sort of keyboard pasted on your guitar.
It's Velcroed, actually, so there's no glue involved.
Okay.
It's a Swedish synth called the Teenage Engineering OP1, and they should definitely sponsor me at this point because I give them free ads all over the world. No, it's a great little piece of kit.
Do you use it? You use it to record your albums as well, or just when you're touring?
Yeah, everything that I use to record my albums is in this room, more or less. Everything fits in that backpack right there. I'm actually working on an EP this week in Beirut at Charlie's house.
Charlie is the one who initially sponsored your coming to Beirut. He encouraged Beirut Open Space to organize that concert, and it was supposed to happen last year, I think, but it's finally seeing the day this week. Will you be staying in Beirut long after Friday's concert?
No, I leave Sunday. There's supposed to be some street fair that sells a bunch of old records and used military surplus.
Yes, absolutely.
Packs and stuff that I want to go see first, and then I get on an airplane.
The flea market.
Yeah.
Let me just check if we have time for one last song.
Sure, if it's set up, absolutely.
Well, let's hear one last live song from you.
Okay.
And then we'll listen to some of the selections you brought for us tonight.
Sure.
Yeah.
I found it. her.
Radio Liban sur www.96-2.com.
This would happen again, with or without my
So what's the deal with Liz Phair? Tell me, why does everyone like her all over again?
I think there was just some big marketing push that Matador did to resell remastered, repressed versions of her excellent old records.
I was telling Charlie a few moments ago that I find it very strange when an album that wasn't supposed to get a deluxe treatment suddenly gets a deluxe treatment. I mean, if it was supposed to be lo-fi, why would you want to remaster it and do all of that?
It's true, but any way the music industry can find to make ends meet these days, I'm all for it. Like, let them sell that to vinyl people. That's good. Make Liz some money.
You have a very interesting approach to marketing your music and to make it available to fans. Apparently, in the past you've made available cassette versions of your albums and sent various different ways for people to find them. Tell us a bit about that.
Yeah, two different projects I did that actually. The first one was just sort of see if I could do it, and then the second one was I was helped by a record label that I was on to mail these 40 purple translucent cassettes all over the States, and also some in Mexico and maybe something in the UK or something, I forget where. But we mailed them all over, and interns buried them at GPS coordinates that I'd specified.
Buried them under the earth?
Sometimes they hid them in like the library at a certain call sign or something like that, a certain Dewey Decimal code. Hmm. But yeah, it was I think 17 or 18 of them were found, and the others were, who knows what happened to them. I know in one incident it was mistaken for a bomb, and there was a scare on the campus because it was duct taped to the bottom of something and it looked like a plastic explosive.
Yeah,
it was not, spoiler alert.
But what's the idea behind making the music available in this manner?
I just wanted to play with it. I mean, putting out physical copies of music is boring by itself.
And difficult to sell nowadays.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't make any money off of that other than the publicity that it generated. But it was also just a fun game. I mean, music is it should stand on its own, but in this world that we live in, it doesn't. You have to...
Not anymore.
But I think that's actually fine. You can create a whole story. You can put the DNA of your art into how you represent your art, and I tried to do that. It's definitely something that I would have done if I were a fan of the music. I definitely would have looked for those cassettes. It's totally something. So I think every artist wants to like put the thing you want to consume in the world. That's all that's the best you can hope for as an artist. So I think maybe with that, I was making something for my 19-year-old self.
So in a way, you're sort of defying the difficulties that are inherent to marketing music nowadays and making something playful for yourself.
Yeah, and I mean, marketing is it's sort of the opposite of how I think people ought to approach art. You make the thing, and it makes itself useful or not. And there's a lot of really bad art that gets pushed out there because of marketing. I think that's a big source of inefficiency in the world.
Absolutely. Another song, maybe, from your selection?
Yeah, sure.
What would you like us to listen to next?
I sort of put them in chronological order. So let's hear the Stephen Wiley track. This is an excerpt from a very tedious and long song called The Bible Break. He was marketed as the first full gospel Christian rapper. And I was raised evangelical Christian, and this you just need to hear this. It's just play it.
Let's do it.
Says, let's praise the King of Kings on the cymbals, trumpets, and the organs, instruments with strings. You preach if it's the word of God you teach. Signs follow what you preach if it's the word of God that you teach.
Bible is the holy book, so let's open it up and take a look. You got Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1st and 2nd Samuel, 1st and 2nd Kings, 1st and 2nd Chronicles. Hey there, hey it and not the tail. If the prison door is open, or what you doing in jail? Because Jesus paid your bail. Everybody say J. Says, let's praise the King of Kings on the cymbals, trumpets, and the organs, instruments with strings. You preach if it's the word of God you teach. Signs follow what you preach if it's the word of God that you teach. The Bible is the holy book, so let's open it up and take a look. You got Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1st and 2nd Samuel, 1st and 2nd Kings, 1st and 2nd Chronicles. Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Job, Psalm, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Psalm, Solomon, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations. Ezekiel. And then we've got Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi. New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and Paul, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, 1st and 2nd Timothy, Titus, Philemon, Hebrew, James, 1st and 2nd Peter, 1st and 2nd 3rd John, Jude to Revelation. The word's gonna save this nation if we learn the word from Genesis to Revelation. God sent his son to alleviate the demons from the curse.
I think we should have a video feed of you singing along to Stephen Wiley. Where did that come from?
That's from the mid-80s. I used to go to this evangelical Christian church in Florida that sort of ran... They had their own radio station and their own astronomical observatory. It was very, very wholesome. If it weren't so wholesome, I would have called it a cult. There are actually some really nice people involved in this semi-cult, and that was one of the more popular things that the teenagers were listening to when I was growing up. That's what the cool kids were listening to in my life.
You were raised in Florida, but born in Louisville, Kentucky?
Louisville. I don't remember Louisville much. I was just there for 16, 17 months. My father and almost everyone in my family for a couple of generations back was working in rail in the United States. I'm the first person to not follow in that footsteps in a couple of generations. So, the CSX railway has a headquarters in both cities, so we got transferred.
Nowadays, you live in Berlin, the city where everyone wants to move to and everyone wants to live in and everyone wants to play. There's even songs being made about how everyone is moving to Berlin.
Everybody's moving to Berlin.
Exactly,
yeah,
that one. Is it difficult to find gigs to live in Berlin? Apparently, a lot of the poorer areas are becoming gentrified.
Yes, this is true. This is a problem. But one of the things that, and I don't want to say this because I don't want to imply it's not a problem. It's definitely a problem. But I think one of the unique things about Berlin is that it so far has resisted gentrification quite successfully. And it was coming up from a pretty low place economically. So some of it wasn't actually that bad for the city. And the rent is still the lowest of the major cities in Europe. So I'm not complaining yet.
How long have you been there? You told me at the beginning, but I forgot.
Yeah, about 4 years. But I mean, I want to emphasize that the priority in gentrification is an artist. It's the communities that were there before we got there. And to that extent, I think Berlin also does a pretty good job of, we have refugee shelters and centers for youths that don't have much to do during the day. For a couple months there, I was teaching a course every week or so on Ableton that was geared towards immigrants and newcomers. So Berlin is, I think that's another thing that helps Berlin resist gentrification is that there's a big community of people for whom humanitarian values are very important.
Let's continue with another song of your selection.
Sure.
I want to play as many as I can from those before our hour is up.
Sure.
So what's I Want to Be Free?
This is my friend Steven Steinbrink. It's a great little track. I'm not even sure if I'm supposed to play this, so this might be, yeah, we should definitely play it. He's just one of my favorite songwriters ever. From Arizona, Steven Steinbrink.
Charlie tells me that Steven guested on your last album.
Yeah, he sang backup vocals on a track called Warmth Perimeter, and he didn't know he was doing it either. I just took him to the park and I made him sing into my phone, and told him I counted off the BPM with my hands, and then synced him into it later.
Are you releasing your albums as CDs, as CDRs, as vinyls? How do you go about releasing your music nowadays?
Tiny Engines decides now. They're the label
that
I'm involved
with. That's your
label,
okay.
Yeah, and they're really good at what they do. They know how to move records. So right, most of the physical copies that Oversleepers was on are vinyl. There's some CDs as well. And I think there have been some downloads. And, of course, it's on streaming platforms. And there's also a book on this record. That's what I consider to be the definitive edition, is the songbook.
Oh, I read about that on your Bandcamp.
Yeah.
So there's a book of tablatures and stuff like that?
There was. They're out of print now. We only made 250, I think.
Okay.
And yeah, it's got tab, and it's a strange little hybrid form. It's not just tablature. It's kind of like a lead sheet, but no jazz person would recognize it as such. It's got a rhythmic structure along the bottom, and it's got chords that you can play tabbed for the Dadgae tuning, Dadgae. I get a lot of emails, people asking, I've been trying to figure out this song forever and I can't, what's the deal? And the secret is Dadgae, Dadgae.
Must have taken you a lot of time, you and the label, to put it together.
Yeah, I mean, it was made, they I'm sure they wanted to strangle me. It caused a lot of delay, and I was a obsessive perfectionist about it. But it took me longer to do that than it did the actual record.
As you should.
Mm, indeed.
More music?
Sure.
I'm enjoying this tremendously, so why don't we move on to the next track of your selection?
Sure. What's next?
Starflyer?
Yeah, this is a great... Can I make a little segue? So Stephen Wiley was the Christian rapper that we just heard. When I got older and I started discovering, like, you know, better music, this band was also Christian. But you'll hear it. It's really something else. It's unique. There's a lot of Christian versions of pop music, but this is completely unique and interesting and just something on its own.
It sounds very dark and moody.
Yeah, it's there's something about being raised in the evangelical faith and leaving it that makes you feel just profoundly cut adrift and lonely, and Starflyer 59 really captures it.
Are you familiar with all those dark, deep, and gloomy bands from Louisville, Kentucky, such as Slint?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Bastro, Gastro del Sol, Rodan. There's some of, I actually was fortunate enough to take a semester of a course that David Grubbs, who is kind of at the center of that whole scene,
absolutely, yeah.
Taught on John Cage. I think that was probably one of the most influential things to happen to me, idea-wise.
I was very much into that whole scene.
Yeah, me too.
For a while there. Did you want to play a couple of more tracks before we?
Yeah, I want to move ahead.
We release you.
I want to move ahead to Mr. Liff. This is so I'd escaped the influence of contemporary Christian music. And had a pirate radio station in Florida around the time of the Iraq War, and I was very, very angry about the way politics was going in the States. And this was one of the tracks that we played the most heavily on the station. It's Mr. Liff.
Whenever we stand against the flow of opinion on strongly contested issues, a man does what he must, in spite of personal consequences, in spite of obstacles, and dangers, and pressures. That is the basis of all human morality.
Now let's talk about self-expression, true expression. Open your minds without question, no doubt. Tell me what you're thinking about. Let's try to set aside pride and clout. Can you believe I feel the same exact way you do? You truly do believe these modern ways have fooled you. Systems exist so we never meet each other. Pretty soon from now that I'll law the word brother. And that's true if they see you walking with the crew. If you don't know, that means more than two. I'll tell you what they'll do. They'll pull over, hunt you over, kick your ass, might stick to your shoulder. I know it's unjust as if it wasn't enough. If you try to fight back, they're locking your ass up. And Chuck already told you that a cell is hell. But I'm waiting for the phone call, sit for a spell. Call the guard, tell him I'm a piece of God. With no beliefs in the streets or a
for their guns, so I put them to sleep. Break the chains and put the shoes back on my feet. He's on the loose with no discernible scars or marks. Just the mind of Mandela in the heart of Rosa Parks. So I dip. Time to see the governor and mayor. Tell them life ain't fair. See if they care. Well, they do, but only if they're on the air. So they appear to have a heart and make a flare. But they haven't done shit for us, and that's a fact. Their only function is to keep the funny money where it's at. And it causes pain, stress. Ask me if we need a different way of life.
They kill anybody they want, and nobody cares, and anybody can get into a position to do anything about it, get killed.
Bam! Headline, Bush steals the presidency. He needs the backing of the meek, what could the remedy be? The country's headed for recession, reminiscent of the Great Depression. Our lives worth the world of power, easy question. Planes hit the towers in the Pentagon, killing those the government wasn't dependent on. It's easy to control the scared, so they keep us in fear. With their favorite Middle Eastern demon named Bin Laden this year. Bush disguises bloodlust as patriotism, convincing the living to love operation. Let's get them. But when he realized we don't support their attacks, they needed something to distract. Anthrax. Let's further demonize his Afghanis. So Americans cheer while we kill their innocent families. And what better place to start a war? To build a pipeline to get the oil that they had wanted before. America supported the Taliban to get Russia out of Afghanistan. That's how they got the arms, and they're in a war against the Northern Alliance. And we can't build a pipeline in hostile environments. Here's what your history books won't show. You're a dead man for fucking with American dough. They're killing several birds with one stone. While you're at home with anti-terrorism up in your dome. But my eyes are wide open and my TV is off. Great, cause I save on my electricity costs. And you could wave that piece of shit flag if you did. But they killed us because we've been killing them for years.
That sample is from a Laurie Anderson song, I think.
Oh, really? I had no idea what the sample was.
Yeah, the bum 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 is from an old Laurie Anderson LP from the 80s.
Cool.
Big Science, I think.
That was a Def Jux release, so that was probably LP's production. I've never done the research on that. I just love that track.
And I think it's I think the Def Jux label is a great label as well.
Yeah.
I used to listen to a lot of their early releases.
Me too.
So, Friday 25th of May at Beirut Open Space in Marm Chayil. Will you be playing the same kind of setup as you had tonight, or will
it be more expansive?
There'll be
two kinds of extremes. There's like the singer-songwriter stuff, and then there's like a long, sometimes improvised, sometimes structured ambient stuff. And then there's also half of my set is kind of not half. I'd say two or three songs are almost like karaoke because I just like sing to crazy background tracks. Soca beats and stuff.
We'll be looking forward to that.
I look forward to seeing you.
And I'll be there for sure.
Excellent.
Thank you so much for being here tonight.
Thanks for having me. It's been a huge honor to be in Beirut. I can't wait to play on Friday.
It was lovely to hear you play here tonight. Thank you to Charlie Rain for putting this together. Charlie Rain, who's with us in the studio tonight. And one last song, Charlie Garcia.
Sí. No soy un extraño, an Argentine. A great Argentine rock national guy from the early 80s. I heard this song and didn't know what it was for two or three years. And then all I knew was the bass line. It does this amazing dum-dum-dum-dum thing. And then I did a bunch of research and found it a few years later when the internet got better. So jam it.
We will. See you soon.
Bye.
Me quedo piola y empiezo a pensar que no hay que pensar. this is going.